Oh, hello. Didn't see you there. As I have an immunity to doing two podcasts in a row with the same simple audio settings. I think it's because I've been changing up a lot of my gear and stuff and, you know, new things. And so it should be better, but I'm doing a lot of stuff. And so every time I got to change stuff. So hopefully it sounds good. I'm late for this. Doesn't matter to the listeners, but to the viewer, anyone who was waiting for me, I said I'd go 45 minutes ago, completely forgot about something that I forgot about it because it was rescheduled to today and I missed that part. So sorry, I'm late, but if you're hearing this on the podcast, this doesn't matter to you. So we are on the Bible, I think. Are we still on the Bible? Yeah. Haven't finished that Bible. But we're on, I believe we're on chapter 21. In fact, I'm sure of it, but now that I thought about how dumb it would be if I reread a chapter, now I have to check just to make sure. Even though I'm 100% sure we're on 21, I have to check. Yeah, we're on 21. I think we're going 21, 22, 23, 24, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think so. It's not much has changed here. It's pretty much what it's going to be. I mean, we know who the Bible is. It knows who we are. And, you know, that's how it goes. It's not going to change its ways. We're not going to change our ways. You might be hearing this. It might have been referred from cognitive dissonance. I think I already got a little bump. I always get a little listener bump when I go on their show because those guys are boss. And have their boss. Let's bring back that word. I like that. They're pretty boss, and they have 20 billion listeners, I think. Pretty sure they have everyone on this planet plus some other planets. They got a good listenership, and that's why I always feel privileged when they let me come on their show and ruin it. And so that's good. So greetings to anyone who's coming from there. And just in case I have anyone new, jump on the Facebook, although that's probably where you went first, cause that's what I said on their show. Jump on the Facebook, Twitter guys, @TNTheB. I'm getting more followers every day. I like it. I'm tweeting jokes. I think they're better than I tweeted this. Anyone who follows me, you know, I don't follow big Twitter, you know, your Patton Oswalt's and your Michael Ian Black's, they're deep in the pockets of the oil companies. They don't have your interests at heart. They're bought and paid for. Support, follow local. This is, I'm just remembering my exact tweet, which is going to be to anyone who saw it. It's going to be like, hey, he's doing his tweet. That's true. I'm doing my tweet. Follow local, you know, which is me. I'm just local. I don't know. Local internet, which is just me. I don't know how to define local internet, so I'm just going to go with a convenient definition and say local is me. So buy local, follow @TNTheB. I give you just as good jokes as all those funny people, you know, and I'm free. It's free to follow my Twitter. I don't think the other ones charge, but I don't know that. It's possible they charge you to follow them. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know a lot about it, but I can tell you following my Twitter is free. So that you can take that to the bank, but you wouldn't because it's nothing. It's free. So, yeah. So, now I guess we'll just get going. So, yeah, greetings, new listeners. Follow me on Twitter @TNTheB. It's facebook.com/TNTheB as well. And ustream.com or .TV/ Thomas in the Bible or something like that. But anyway, just find me on Ustream if you want. I broadcast live. I usually give a terrible estimate of when I'm going to broadcast live. Usually just whatever I say, figure like a half hour from then to be safe. So that's all the maintenance-y things. Sorry, you know what? And I'm going to apologize to our robot overlords from the future who listen to this and have to hear these same messages every episode. I just realized that, you know, people who catch up, they have to listen to this crap every time. Sorry about that. Go ahead and fast forward. I should add some sort of a long tone. This would be really innovative podcast technology. I'll add like some sort of loud tone. So when you're And it has to be, I think usually you fast forward in 15 or 30 second increments. So I'm just going to add a 30 seconds of boo. And then when you're fast forwarding and you hear that, that's how you know how to stop. Isn't that a good idea? That's a great idea. Everyone's going to do this. I don't think anyone's going to do it. but anyway, yeah, hopefully you fast forwarded, robot overlords from the future who are listening to this and wondering what I'm even talking about. Because once robots take control of everything, hopefully they'll get rid of religion. It's like, first order of business. Although, I guess this is a premise possibly of Battlestar Galactica. It's kind of an interesting thought that I don't know why. Just the Bible sucks. I just try to find anything to talk about that's not the Bible. I don't know if I thought of this. I don't think I did, but I was thinking one day, probably stole it from someone else. It would be interesting to do some sort of show or movie where robots take over, but they're like especially susceptible to religion for some reason. And so, like, I don't know, just that'd be interesting. Because religion really is like a meme, it's almost its own organism, and it kind of has its ways of, it definitely evolves and it evolves defenses and it would just be interesting to think of it like taking over robots, it could. I don't know why it couldn't. But I think that might be one of the themes in Battlestar Galactica. So it could be maybe I stole it from that. But anyway, all right, I guess I'll read the Bible. Ugh, you guys want me to read the stupid Bible? It's what you're paying me nothing to do. So you guys are the ones who sign the nothing checks. So I better, I don't want to argue with that. okay, 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hef. Who cares? And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as has been known to occur. This is nothing new. After the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. So that's, you never want to do that. Never build up those high places. And he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. And he built altars for all the host of the heaven and the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times and used. Oh, passed through the fire, by the way. So he just sacrificed his son. That's what happened there. So just in case you were wondering what that meant, I read the other version that tells in English what happens in the Bible, and it said he sacrificed his son. So that's what that means. And observe times. I like that one. That doesn't sound like so much of a sin. Like, oh, it's 3 o'clock right now. It's pretty 3 o'clock. Damn you, heathen. I don't know. I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean. I guess he observed. Maybe that means he like celebrated bad holidays. God's got all these holidays and things he wants you to do, and sometimes if you celebrate the wrong ones, and you go to hell for an eternity. Sometimes. That's just what happens sometimes. And used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. And he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image in the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not, because he wasn't actually speaking to them, because, as I've said 100 times, if they knew all this, if they knew that there was one real God, I'm sure they would have been happy to worship that God. It's not, but this book acts like, like they all know, well, we all know who the true God is, but why would you, Everyone, that's what they do. They're like, we like to root for the underdog. We're not gonna just, oh yeah, we could all, hey, let's be a bunch of lemmings and worship the actual God that we know exists. Pfft, that's just gonna kill us, if it's gonna kill us if, oh, I just switched over to the chat and saw, oh, people, yeah, sorry, man, Australopithecus. I know that word, but I thought you were spelling it a different way, so that's why I struggled with it. Yeah, sorry that I was late. I know. I'm sorry about that. I'm terrible being on time, and it seems like it's a different, unrelated thing every time. It's not like I sit and go, I'm gonna wait 30 minutes and then go. It's like there's something I forgot, something I had to do. So I just, I, it's my fault. I don't know. Sorry, man. Oh yeah, Futurama did a sode about robot religion. That's true. I've seen every Futurama, but I don't claim to be able to remember every Futurama. But I have seen every single one, except for maybe if they're still if they're doing that last season right now. I never watch anything live. So what was I saying? Yeah, it's just ridiculous to think that, all the Israelites know who God is, but they're gonna worship other gods just for shits, just for fun. It's such a funny, I mean, I know I've said this kind of thing before, but now I'm really, it's even more ridiculous the more I think about it. That ever, like, it takes this point of view, like, oh, they're so evil. First of all, these people are evil and they're dumb, and it's like, I'm sure if they knew the information, they'd do the right thing. It's just God's just mad that they don't know, that they don't know that he's the one true God, really. I mean, if they knew, they'd worship him. So whose fault is that if they don't know? Is it their fault? Like, is it my fault if I don't know, like, something about, I don't know, the French culture? I mean, I guess it is. Like, I could theoretically go figure out something, like, go think, like, maybe there's something I need to know that I don't know. But how am I just gonna have that thought? Like, something needs to kind of prompt me. If I'm doing something in France, going to France, and that's one thing, I guess, but you can't just know something that you're supposed to, like, I this is a terrible way of saying this point that, like, how is God mad at them for them not knowing he's the true God? Is what I'm trying. I think I made a terrible analogy. I did, in fact. That analogy was like going to France and no. no, but I made a terrible analogy, but really I don't need to make an analogy. Getting mad for not knowing something is just ridiculous, for not knowing something that's under their control. So that's stupid, and I guess that's all I can say about that for now, until I forget that I already said that a couple hours from now and re a couple hours. I'll be hopefully done with this episode. But they hearken not, of course, and Manasseh reduced. How do you say an H at the end of the word? Sseh is the end of that word. Manasseh. Manasseh. Like, it doesn't, that doesn't do anything for my tongue, like, phonation-wise or whatever you would say. I don't know, that doesn't do anything. An H at the end just says Manasseh. So it's just like, it just sounds like I'm breathing oddly. Doesn't, anyway. Seduce them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly, you've all heard this, above all, Amorites did before him, hath made Judah also to sin. Well, God's mad. I'm so sick of this. This is so bad. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm bringing such a. There's some interesting things that happen in this reading, so I'll, fret not, I'll get to them, but it's just the same crap every time. Oh, God's mad. I didn't do the high places. So, like, all right, I've made the point that God should easily be able to write the greatest piece of literature anyone's ever read. That's obvious. But now I'm thinking God should just at least be able to not write the worst piece of literature ever written, which is questionable now whether he's doing that. It's close. That It's really bad. This is the worst thing I've ever read. How did, where did, society, and I mean my country. I don't know where everybody's from. It's really cool that I have listeners from other countries and stuff. But okay, United States. I can only speak for the United States. I can only speak for the, 300 million people in the United States. But I think whenever someone says on either side, and it'll be atheists too or religious people, they'll be like, well, the Bible is, of course, a beautiful piece of literature, but that doesn't mean that God exists or any like people. I think people want to give concessions. People want to concede stuff to the other side when they're making an argument so that the argument will be better received. That's a common tactic. You got to say, well, yeah, there's many great things in the Bible, but I just think that doesn't necessarily mean that God exists or something, something like that. We need to cut that part out because this book sucks. It's really bad. It's off. There's nothing good. People talk about, remember Genesis? I made this point. I think people talk about, so oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful creation. And no, it's not. It's a terrible creation myth. It doesn't, it's stupid. Just because it's something everybody's read forever, to exaggerate a little bit, it's familiar, I guess. That doesn't make it good. It's crap. This book sucks. Can we stop the thing where we go, oh, it's a great piece of literature. Admire it as a read it as a fictional piece of. No, it's not even good at that. It's this. Look, maybe it gets better in the New Testament or something, but this is it. This the Old Testament is like 2/3 of the Bible by length. It's more than half. It might even be more than 2/3. But it's at least around there. So if 2/3 of the Bible is horrifically bad, just awful, then how good can the book be, really? Even if it has like a Beatles song toward the end, I mean, it makes it a, I don't know why I said that. Even if it has, Harry Potter type caliber. I don't read. Is that obvious? I don't know. No reading knowledge. Anyway, it's just so bad. So he's saying, God's saying, oh, I'm gonna kill some stuff. I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance delivered in the hand of their enemies and shall be a prey and a spoil to all their enemies. Yeah, I gotta. Because they have done that, which is evil. Yeah. Australopithecus says, why couldn't God wait and have Shakespeare write his book? Yeah, or just make a guy better than Shakespeare at that time. That would be easy too. Or just you're God. Just do anything. You're just there are options you have as God that we can't even conceive of that are undoubtedly better than these options. So just God, just we need a new verb, like to God. Like just go God. Just go God, everybody. And just that's the solution. Do that. It's a verb. I know it's not making sense, but it's because I'm inventing a new word that, to God. He, she, it, God, they, God, we, God, nosotros, God, and nomos, nom, I don't know. I took some Spanish. I just thought I'd conjugate it for nosotros. Vosotros, God, et nomos. Yeah, that verb, my new verb to God, just means just do something that we can't even, just by nature, by definition, if God existed, he or she or it would have access to just lines of thought that we can't even imagine. We could never even be in the same universe as what God is thinking. It's just not even possible. So my verb to God means just do something we haven't even thought of, Just do that. Just go God. I don't know why I just made this up now, but it's true. Like, it's funny thinking of an option like, oh, why didn't he, just make a book way better? Or why didn't he do gazillion other things that would have been way better than this? It's not, felt like I needed a new word for it. Anyway. Manasseh shed innocent blood. He killed his son, I think, until he'd filled Jerusalem. And the rest of the acts of this guy, you're gonna have to read about it again. So that's what that means. I hope not, but I think we're almost done with this book, by the way. We're not gonna quite get to the end in this reading, but and Manasseh slept with his fathers, as they always do. Amon was 20 and 2 years old when he began to reign. I'm just skipping. Just who cares? Just so bad. And he did that, which was evil. Yeah, okay. Oh, I was gonna make a joke here. Oh, thank you, new viewer. I don't want to say your name. I've had some people say like, "Oh, shoot, don't say my name if it might be my real name." I don't know. I don't want to. I figured this guy's name wasn't Australopithecus, so I didn't say his name. But you who just gave me a message, thank you. What was I going to say? I was going to say, oh, I was just going to make a stupid joke then. So Amon, this guy, walked in the way of his father, and at least that means he was a good dad, right? I mean, as much as he's cursed all of the Judah or whatever for being evil, if your son, if you raise a son and then he's like, I want to be just like my dad. I want to be just as evil as my dad was. He was that guy, He's gone now. God rest his soul. But you know what? I'm gonna be twice the evil king that he was, That means you're a good parent, at least. I don't think anyone ever grows up and goes, God, I hate my dad, hate my dad. I'm gonna do exactly what my dad did. That's not how it works. He was a good dad. Maybe he read to his kid. I don't know. But when his son took over, he's like, Dad, I know you're up there. Well, sorry, Dad, I know you're down there, burning in hell. Well, I guess hasn't been invented yet. But I'm gonna make you proud. Yeah, I miss you. I miss you, Pa. I'm gonna have those high places, and all that. I'm gonna have those high places and whatever other evil thing. I don't know. Worship other gods harder than you ever did. I'm gonna be twice just as an inspiration. Anyway, so he was a good dad. The people of the land slew them. Oh, well, hold on. Let's see what happened. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers. That's what I just said, kind of. And slew the. Oh, wait, what? Slew the king in his own house. Served the idols. What? And the people of the land. And slew the king. Oh, I just. Sorry, I'm an idiot and I skipped a line. So he walked not in the way of the Lord. We got that. And the servants of Amon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. So that's what happened to that guy. So he's right in the middle of impressing his dad. I love you, Pa. He's stabbed and he's dead. The people of the land slew them that had conspired against the king. So at least they killed the people who killed the king and made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. As usual, you can read in Chronicles. And he was buried somewhere. Who cares? We're on to Kings 22. So Josiah, he's the current guy. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah. Excuse me, a little indigestion. The daughter of, some water here. The Lord gave me indigestion to hinder my. A very feeble attempt to hinder my making fun of his book. Just because this book sucks. You guys, did you ever hear that? Remember when Christopher Hitchens? God, I've been missing the shit out of Christopher Hitchens lately. Man, I'm really glad we have YouTube in this era, and maybe future eras would have had way more video of their Christopher Hitchenses. But I'm glad we at least have a lot of video of him talking because I was just watching him, and he wasn't perfect, but. It just he there's a certain point of view that he had and a certain way that he had that we really could have used several times in the last few years that he's been gone. It's a year, 2 years. I guess it's only been about a year and a half. Still, too long. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, when he got he got throat cancer, he a lot of people said like serves you right. It's the very organ you use to talk. Essentially blaspheme the Lord. That's the one that the Lord gives you cancer with. And his response was like, oh, that's not the organ that I blaspheme the most with. Always that was good. Meaning his penis, obviously. Always that was a great line. But I look forward to being an old person who can quote Christopher Hitchens when people probably don't remember everything he said. And then I'll be like Christopher Hitchens was with a bunch of, I'm never going to be like he was, but that's what he would be so great at is he'd quote literature and just whacked my mic. He'd whack his mic, he'd quote literature, quote other people, tell great stories. At least I could tell that story and be sort of in that direction. Anyway, I don't know. Again, I'm filibustering. This book sucks. It's terrible. Josiah, He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So that means that what was that guy's name? Amon or something? I can't remember the last king. Amon or something like that. He was a bad father because he, you know, apparently when you raise a kid, when you're evil and you raise a kid, you know, and the kid says, I'm going to be good. I know I'm not going to do any of that. That means you were a bad dad. So he didn't read to him as a child, I guess. Well, you know what? He was murdered. So that's what happens when you grow up without a dad. You know, maybe that's what happens. You don't have that positive influence to lead you in a negative way. And you end up doing good, like this Josiah is doing. This story is actually kind of interesting, worth reading. It came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of... I'm glad I told someone a Hitchens quote they didn't know. See, that's what I'm going to be like Hitchens. Everything he said, I didn't know already. So if I can do one little bit of that, just with him, though. I don't know anyone else. Maybe Hitchens is Sam Harris. So fast forward 50 years, and then I can seem smart because I'm quoting people that no one will remember, probably. I mean, nothing against those people, but anyway... that's my plan, to seeming smart. Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought in the house of the Lord, which is the keepers of the door. I really got to get moving, because this is a slow pace. So, yeah. Ooh, I just did something really cool on my Mac. All right. Celebrate that. Where am I? I'm already at almost a half hour. So I had all these windows up, and I just figured out a cool way to manipulate them. So... See, anything but the Bible is interesting. Okay, so this guy, this was actually, I'm pretty sure this was referenced on an episode of Lost. So if you're really, really into my podcast and Lost, you might remember this. I just watched all the way through that series for the second time. I watched it when it aired, but as I probably mentioned, it's pretty biblical though, actually. There's a lot of Bible references, but this was referenced by Echo. Mr. Echo. So, you know, the story. I think. I'm pretty sure it's this story. Someone can fact check that. But that would require a lot of effort. You just watch the whole Lost series. Why not? It's good. It's a good series. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, so that have oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. Unto carpenters and builders and masons to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said, unless this is another story that he tells that's just like this, because he says, well, I'm kind of giving it away, Mr. Echo tells a story of how one time in the Bible, sorry about the ads, guys, I don't know. I think I have to pay to upgrade or something. I don't know. I'm not going to do that. Unless you guys want to pay me money to upgrade, that's fine. I'm already paying a bunch of money for the site and doing, you know, not to complain, but, you know, that's not something I'm willing to do. So I'll look into upgrading. But anyway, Mr. Echo, he tells a story of someone who went to bring money to these people. Now I'm messing up the story. I'm pretty sure it was similar. Well, let me just tell this story, and then if anyone ever watches Lost, they can tell me if it's the same story. I don't know why I mentioned that, other than anything but the Bible. That's why. And Shaphan the scribe came to the... Okay, so somebody, the good king, who's being a good guy, Josiah, I think his name is, he says to somebody, hey, take a bunch of money... Go give it to all these builders and let's build this place back, you know? And what happens is Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. So instead of rebuilding some stuff or whatever, they just find the book, which I did some research and turns out is like Deuteronomy or something. And so they find the book And this is like Mr. Echo's story. He says that people were trying to find something, instead they find a book, and that's the real thing they needed or something. But anyway, that's deep cuts. That's deep insight into Lost. I don't know. Anyway, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it in the hand of them to do the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe shewed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. It's something people do a lot. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Achim the son of Shaphan and Achbor and some other people, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book. Fantastic. This is just, you know what? I shouldn't have done all that stalling. Because this next sequence of events, next couple sequences of events, sequences of events, are so incredible. They're so classic God. Oh, that's just classic God. Oh, it's classic. So they find Deuteronomy. I don't know if you guys remember Deuteronomy. I certainly don't. But it probably sucked because it's one of those law ones, right? They find the book of Deuteronomy and they are so astounded by it. They're like, oh, he rents his clothes. He tears his clothes. I found Deuteronomy. Oh my God, I could, you know. And they're just blown away by this book. Like, that's who we're dealing with. People who are blown away by that piece of crap. And they're inspired. So the guy says, like, okay, you need to go check this out, because if this book is true, we're in deep S, because there's a lot of stuff that we're not doing that it says to do. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan, yeah, I thought it was going on. And I went to some prophetess, the wife of Shalom, son of, don't care, some people. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of this book, which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, As touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. This is fantastic. It's fantastic. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and the written on the subway walls and tenement halls, and the sound of silence, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book, and all the people stood to the covenant. So, I don't know when to butt in here, because I can't remember exactly the timeline of what happens here. Look, I'm only human. Okay, I don't have a perfect memory for BS. Doris, do I want to keep doing this? Yeah, no, I'll keep reading, and I'll... Well, basically what's happened is they found Deuteronomy, like I said, and the king's like, holy crap, we need to do this. If this is real, we're screwed. And, you know, he's like, I'm going to fix everything. Sorry, Lord. And the Lord says, hey, man, thanks. I appreciate that. Appreciate the sentiment. Tell you what, I was going to murder everybody and just kill a bunch of people and just horrifying stuff. I'll go ahead and wait until, because you've been a really good guy. You've been a great guy. Yeah, I'm really happy that you seem to care. Because of that, I tell you what, I pulled some strings, but don't tell my manager about this. But I'm gonna go ahead and let you die first before I kill everyone else. So just you don't even notice because you'll be dead. So that's just as a token of my gratitude. That's what he says. That's what he tells him. Seriously, that's what the Lord said at the end of the last chapter. And I'll keep going and then do some analysizing. So the king commands some people there. He's okay. We're made for bring for. So the king starts fixing everything. He's like, "You get rid of your Baal trophy. You stop masturbating. You stop having gay butt sex with that guy." Pretty much. I mean, it says that, hold on, for the grove. He burned him down, and he put down the idolatrous priests. Put him down, like lethal injection, or whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places. God hates incense. At Jerusalem, burn incense unto Baal and the sun, the moon, and the planets. Oh, to the heaven! Oh, damn it! Sorry, guys. Ugh. And he brought out of the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and stamped it to small powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. Thank you for the compliment, you. Where the women were hanging. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah. And defiled the high places where the priests had burned the incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were nevertheless priests of the high places, came not up to the altar of the Lord of Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter to pass through the fire. And he took away the horses of the kings of Judah that were given the son, and then so he's fixing everything. I'm getting sick of reading all these words, but the king is like fixing everything. He's like, we got to fix everything up because we're in violation of the law of the Lord. Got rid of some altars. Just summarizing. Got rid of some altars, high places, bunch of abominations. He got rid of. Broke some graven images, did that. Moreover, the altar, the high place, made an angel of sin, break down. It could just say he got rid of all the bad crap. That's all that's happening now. Man, you guys are awesome fans. I like it. Thank you. Yeah, I'm really glad. Like I said in the beginning, I'm glad Cogdis lets me on. That's loads of fun. I have a great time with those guys every time. And they're probably the reason I have most of my listeners, really. I'd have like two if it was just me. And Josiah turned himself. He spied the sepulchers. It would be really cool if I could go to the amazing meeting and meet them amazingly because it is kind of close to me. I'm in California, so it's closer to me than it is for them. I don't know if I can, but it'd be kind of cool to hang out with those guys, those dudes. I don't know what, I don't. Again, I don't know if I have the funds or or do you have to be invited? I don't know, you just buy tickets, I'm sure, obviously. Anyway, just okay. I'm just summarizing. I honestly I've gone too long on this, so I'm kind of trying to. Oh yeah, I've definitely gone too long. Okay. So what title is that? So he got rid of a bunch of crap. He got rid of a bunch of crap. That's it. And he said, "What title is that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things." Oh, I remember this part. He's getting rid of a bunch of bodies, or he's just getting rid of a thing, and there's some buried bodies. And then he sees this specific grave, and he's like, "Who is that?" And they say, "Oh, he was a prophet who prophesies all prophesied. I forget, prophesied." Everything that you're doing, or something, or said that you'd do this, and so he's like, "Oh, okay, leave that guy there." So he leaves his body alone. That's all that happens. But as far as the other people, get rid of them. Just dig them up. Who cares? And all the houses, all the king's horses, all the king's men, also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places. He killed them. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover. He's just fixing everything. That's all he's doing. Surely it was not so holding the Passover in the king. But in the 18th year of the king of Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord of Jerusalem, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and all the abominations. I have to think those wizards would be useful, though. I mean, I know you're trying to fix everything, but keep a wizard in your back pocket just in case you need a wizard, you know. Because you never know when you're going to need to cast a spell, a protective spell of some kind. Oh man, yeah. I wish I was drinking the alcohol right now, but I'm not for some reason. Oh, I totally have a beer in the fridge. Oh man, I deeply regret not having that beer currently. Just keep in mind too, you guys. You'll see this in an hour or so, but everyone in the chat. The chat messages come way, like, probably 2 minutes later than when I see them, just in case I'm not responding to something or whatever. So whenever I say something, it takes 2 minutes, and then you guys chat on it. So I don't know where the lag is, but somehow that's about what it is. And like unto him, there's no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart. So he was the best king. This guy gets rid of everything. He's the best. This is the best. So Liv, just summarizing everything that I just kind of skipped. This guy fixes everything, Josiah. He fixes everything, gets rid, kills all the high priests. He's that place is in shape. It's like some sort of movie montage, you know, where they clean everything up. They're getting rid of all their, there's murder in this montage. It's a murder montage. So he's like, ta-da, you know, he's like, hey God, look what I did. And then here's this great sentence. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and I will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, the house which I said my name shall be there. Now, and the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles? In his days... Okay, I'm going to stop because I don't even know what to do. Cause okay. So here's this guy, finally a redeeming, I mean, this is all BS. So who cares? But finally a good character, this guy, Josiah, he finds this book, he finds Deuteronomy. And first of all, this reveals that the whole time the people didn't even know about all these laws they were breaking, right? I mean, isn't that kind of what that implies? If they find this book, they find Deuteronomy, and they're like, crap, what is all this stuff? I didn't know about that. And then they start doing it. Doesn't that imply that, you know, they didn't know about it? So it's God's fault for not making Deuteronomy readily available, like the Gideons do with their Bible in every hotel. God should have put Deuteronomy in every dresser. Every hotel, right? I mean, it's kind of his fault. And then, so here's what happened. So it's already God's fault. As we all know, this is all God's fault. If God were real, everything's his fault. But so it's all especially God's fault. And then this guy, this Josiah guy, so he's like, I better get everything in shape. There's like a big montage with happy montage music where he's murdering the bad priests and he's cleaning everything up. He's dusting. He's got the white glove and he's like, my theme music's playing in my ears because I've gone too long. I've got to turn that off. Okay. And so he's, you know, he's spick and span, everything. He's worshiping everything. They started doing the whole Passover thing again. They're just, everything is just back. It's a utopia. It's a Jewish utopia. And then God looks at this guy who's made all this effort and he goes, you know, I'm not even going to let up a little bit. Oh, not only that, I forgot to say, this king, Josiah, already has learned that he's cool in terms of the Lord. So this is a good guy. This is somebody who really, a selfless person, you know, because he learned, God tells him, remember that little scene I did earlier, God's like, God's like, sorry, chat was distracting me. God says, hey, look, I'm gonna let you die before I kill everybody. It's kind of like, thank you. Wow. But anyway, that's God's small gesture of solidarity with Josiah, because he's like, hey, thanks, appreciate the effort. Here's what I'm gonna do for you. And it's almost nothing. But anyway, that's so Josiah is already kind of off the hook, but still, despite that, he still is like, I'm getting this place into shape. We're gonna worship the Lord, we're gonna be great, we're gonna do all this. And still the Lord takes this saint of a guy, this great guy, according to these beliefs. He's a great guy. I don't know if he actually is a good guy. He killed some high priests, but whatever. Who doesn't? Who hasn't killed a high priest? Anyone? Anyone who hasn't killed a high priest? I can't raise my hand. I've killed several. So, any that's anyway. So he's this great guy, and God looks at him, and he's like, you know what? Sorry, it doesn't matter. Your life of work that you just put in for no gain but to help others. I don't care, because the guy who came before you was a dick. So I'm still gonna kill everyone. Seriously, that's what happened. He said, I'm still killing everybody because that guy sucked. Your dad or whatever, grandfather, I can't remember. Even though you're awesome, you've fixed everything. You fixed the problem. The problem's fixed. Right? So God is the most irrational person, because he's like, no, I just don't, I don't like the feeling. I don't, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right here. It's just bad. It's bad feelings. It's like, well, we fixed it. We cleaned everything. No, yeah, it just doesn't, I don't like it. I don't like it. Well, is there something you want us to do? Because, we, so we got no, we, what were the thing? We got no high priests. We're to no graven images. No, I mean, we can go through the list. I think we've, nah, it just doesn't matter. I don't like it. I don't like, I that your grandfather. I just, I hate him. Yeah, but he's dead. He's what, probably everybody involved in that was dead. You understand how people work, right? Like, it's not just people, like, they give birth and they give birth and they die. You know how that works, right, God? Yeah, but I don't like it. I just don't. That's all he does. He just doesn't like things. And so, it's the worst. How pissed would you be at God if you were Josiah? It doesn't say. That's what it should say. It should say, if you want to learn more about how effing pissed Josiah was at dedicating his life to fixing Judah, and the Lord still just was like, nah. Then see the Chronicles. That's what it should be. The Chronicles of how friggin' pissed Josiah should be. That's the name of that book. Seriously, how mad would you be if you're Josiah and he's like, nah, what would you say? Like, I don't, dude, God, Godford, I don't know what to do. I can't, like, imagine talking to God and being pissed at how stupid he was being. Like he's your girlfriend or boyfriend, and he's doing something really stupid. Imagine that, but with the most powerful being conceivable. Like, okay, if that's the way you see it, God, I guess I just think we fix things. Things are how you wanted them. Imagine that feeling. I mean, it's not real, because that's not, it's just not real. But if this book were real, imagine that. Just like, then you go off to your buddies, you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do about this God, this all-powerful, all-knowing being. He's just a effing idiot. Like, he's so dumb. I don't know what to do anymore, guys. I don't know. I don't know. I tried, did everything he said. Give me a beer. I don't know. Like, imagine that attitude toward the creator of everything. Like, they're just so funny. So funny. So I got some more crap to read. Servants carried him chariot. Okay, so King Josiah, for his all his efforts, he gets killed by an Egyptian pharaoh. And the servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, son of Josiah, and anointed him, made him king. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, because why not? You know, at that point, why not? Just do whatever, just party, you know? If you do everything right, God doesn't even care. We're all dead anyway. I think God just likes killing things. And so, let's just go, screw it. Let's worship all the idols we want. Billy Idol, American Idol, just every, worship everything. Every idol. That's the only two I can think of, but, let's see. Pharaoh something put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem. And he put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And Pharaoh and Choah made Eliakim, son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father. And he turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away and came to Egypt and died. I don't know, guys. I got nothing. I don't know what's happening. The Egyptian king is, like, manipulating which of his sons is going to be king. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give money according to the commandments of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, and gave it all unto Pharaoh. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was something, and who cares? And he did all that which is evil, and he's evil. I thought I was supposed to go one more. I am. It's a short-ish one. I'm already over time. But you know what? I like you guys. I'm going to do it. Are you still there? Did I get disconnected? Oh, no. Okay. It's been a while since anyone said anything. But they're just riveted. They're all riveted by what I'm doing. Okay, I'm just going to try to read this fast. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years, then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldees, bands of Syrians, and bands of people, a bunch of bands, destroyed Judah according to the Lord. So the Lord made these other people destroy Judah. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all he did. That's pretty straightforward. And also for the innocent blood that was shed, he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. So God is just killing Judah or whatever. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, they're in the Chronicles of the Book of Narnia. So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and then someone else reigned. And the king of Egypt came not any more out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken him from the river of Egypt under the river Euphrates. I don't know. All that pertained to the king of Egypt. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign. He reigned Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother... 3 months? His mother's name was Nehushta. Let's see what happens to him. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as they all do. According to all his father done, by that time the servants of Nebuchadnezzar came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city and served to besiege it, as I already said. Just this felt like repeating that. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and the smiths, the band. The smiths was there, too. Yeah, it's funny. None remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, his king's mothers and his wives and his officers and the mighty of the land. Those carried, you know, they don't even mention anymore. They don't even bother mentioning the fact that every one of these kings has like 80 wives, minimum. That's not even newsworthy. As far as the sanctity of marriage goes, that's not even worth mentioning. They just say, yeah, it's wise. They just took all his wives. Not even worth mentioning. Anyway, after war, the king of Babylon... So the king of Babylon took all these people captive, like pretty much everybody good, and left all the poor people. I say good. I don't mean value-wise. Who knows? I'm sure there were great people who were poor. They just were worthless because they had no money. Back then, money kind of mattered. And all the men of might, Even 7,000, the craftsmen and smiths, 1,000 were all strong and apt for war. The king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Who cares? Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Jerusalem. And he did which is evil, yeah. Through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So, for the final chapter, which I wish I could finish, but it's actually a really long one, I'm already over time. Final chapter of 2 Kings. And then I'm guessing we get to read the Chronic What Culls of Narnia, and probably just that's the same thing over and over. Australopithecus just said, I think God forgets that he is omniscient. Well, I didn't just say it. He said it a minute ago. But anyway, that's a good quote. He forgets that he's omniscient. Yeah. Where did I put my omniscience? I don't remember where I set that. True. I agree. That's funny. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for viewing. Thanks for participating in the chat. And, yeah. I should just cut this thing. I should kill this thing. This is just bad. Yeah, we'll finish 2 Kings and move on to the next piece of crap part of this piece of crap book. And I'll see you then. Catch you later.